Good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful day, isn't it? There's a story of a store manager who overheard his clerk tell a customer, "No, ma'am, we haven't had any for a while, and it doesn't look like we'll be getting some anytime soon." The manager was horrified and stepped over to the customer and said, "Of course we will have some soon. We have them on order." And the manager then pulled the clerk aside and said, "Never say that we're out of something. Always say we've got it and it's on order and it's coming. Now, what is it that the lady wanted?" And the clerk looked at the manager and said, "Rain." Sometimes it's easy to jump into a situation without fully understanding the story. Peter was like that from time to time. He would jump right into it without understanding the full story of what was taking place. It doesn't mean that Peter didn't mean well, but even when we mean well, it can be the wrong thing to do. Such was the case in our gospel reading today. Peter was so caught up in the excitement of the moment and the splendor of this experience, he was missing the obvious until God spoke. It had been about 6 days since Jesus had asked his disciples an important question. Jesus asked them, "Who do the people say that I am?" And Peter, without hesitation, jumped in and says, "You are the Christ." And then shortly after that, Jesus is explaining what must take place and how he must die. And Peter jumps right in again and says, "Not on my watch, it's not." That's my version. Jesus turns and looks at Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan." You see, Peter was this man of action. He usually spoke out first before thinking the full aspect of what's going on, and sometimes it got him in trouble. Have you ever been like that? I know I have. You just want to jump in there and do something without thinking it through. At this stage of Peter's ministry, he was a work in process. He was learning. There was a lot of issues inside that Peter would have to learn. He was kind of on this spiritual roller coaster of sorts, trying to take it all in, the experience, and one minute he's doing well and one minute he's being rebuked. When we come to today's reading, Jesus takes three of his disciples on this little mountain hike, and there was two with him were two brothers, James and John, and Peter. These were three of the disciples that were probably closest to Jesus. They had a unique friendship. Maybe it was because of their boldness, or maybe Jesus just wanted to harness their energy. Whatever the reason, Jesus reveals to them on various occasions special insights of who he was and what was to take place. And this is one of those times. For me, this is probably one of the most powerful accounts of Scripture. We can see a lot of powerful passages throughout the Bible. It's just wonderful and awesome. But the unique thing about this one is that God is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. Try to put yourself in these three guys' place and while being asked to come up to the mountain and experience what they did. What would you do if you were there with Jesus and suddenly he changes? This isn't some sort of reflection of light. This was not the Shekinah glory shining down on Jesus. This, in the Greek, is what the root word comes, is metamorphosis. It's where we get the word metamorphosis from. He changed from within. His face shone like a sun. His clothes were as white as light. The glory of who he is, the very essence of who Christ is being revealed. How would we react to that? But it doesn't stop there. Two more people show up. Moses and Elijah, two major representatives of everything in the Old Testament. Moses represents God's word in his law. And we heard the story about he having also this great mountain experience with God. Elijah represents the power and the direction of the word given by the prophets. And they are alive. They're there with him. And here they are in the presence of Jesus and conversing with him. Scripture tells us that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Jesus is the completion of that law, and he is also the fulfillment of the prophecies that have been told about him through the ages. What a wonderful experience this must have been. How would we be? Would we be terrified or excited? Would you be like Peter? Lord, can I build this monument here so we can memorialize this place? Again, he's jumping in. What would we do? There are so many places we could go with this question. It'd be so much, it's such an awesome experience. I read the miracle of the Transfiguration. It's not that Jesus changed like he did, but the fact that he could keep from being seen as who he truly was. But I want to center in on something else for just a moment. There is more to this than just what we are seeing. God wanted something else revealed. And that is when something else happens. That is when they are engulfed in this cloud. And then they hear the voice of God. This is my son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. Listen to him. That's what the Father wants them to get out of this. Listen to him. Listen to the one who will bring salvation. Listen to the one who will direct you in the way of truth. Listen to the one who will enable you to carry out the purposes I have for your life. Listen to him. As the Father revealed himself to Christ at his baptism, he is now revealing to James, John, and Peter the fullness of Jesus as perfect man and God incarnate. As they went down the mountain, they were instructed not to tell anyone what they had seen until he was raised from the dead. Everything now points directly to Jesus. Don't worry about what is about to happen. Don't worry about what has happened. Don't argue among yourselves. Just listen to him. He will reveal more to you. He will pave the way for you. He's going to reveal God's truth to you. So many times we are caught up in the moment of whatever we're doing, and we forget the one whom we are serving. We have to listen to him. You see, these three guys had a mountaintop experience. That's where the term comes from. They saw the majesty of the glory of God. The kind of sad thing is that they had to come down from that mountain, and what was waiting for them was the reality of the fallen condition. As soon as they got down, there was another object lesson to face, then another, and then they're going to have to listen to Jesus. We too have mountaintop experiences. When many of us come to Christ, we are really excited about that moment in our lives. And we can get really excited about what God wants us to do. There's a story of a barber who had just gave his life to Christ, and he was excited about that experience, and he wanted to share what he has happened to him, but he was nervous about sharing his new life in Christ with others. So he prayed before he opened his shop and for strength to share Christ with the next person who walked into his shop. A man walked in, and he says, I'd like a shave. The barber put on the shaving cream and pulled out his straight-edge razor and placed it at the man's throat, and then he said, "Sir, are you prepared to die?" His timing may be off a little bit. But personally, I don't think we should ever lose that kind of excitement, because you never know what opportunities God will open to you. When we come down from the mountain, we face the human race again. People hurting from a loss. Someone who just lost a job. Someone who is sick. You name it. And there may be times when we make a mistake. I know I make mistakes. I made one last week. I left the church to go to the hospital to see my mother-in-law. And of course, Debbie and one of her sisters were already there. And then I I left for a few minutes to go see one of our parishioners who went into the hospital about the same time as my mother-in-law in the same hospital. And I was tired, and I was hungry, and I was walking to the elevator, and there was a lady lying in a stretcher, and I was in my collar, and she looked at me, and she says, "Hello." And I instinctively said, "Hi, how are you?" And I thought, I just asked a lady in a stretcher, "How are you?" Now, that's a common remark, but it might not have been the right time to say that. But my point is this. We need to be a people who, when trouble comes our way, we know who our Redeemer is. We know where our strength comes from. We know because we listen to Him. And how do we do that? Well, one way, of course, is through prayer. It's vital to our relationship with Christ. It's an opportunity for us to really hear God speaking to us with that still small voice from within. I can't tell you how many times I was just sitting and listening and praying that God had nudged me to do something, call someone, or see someone, or pray for someone. You see, He wants to be interactive in our lives. Another way, of course, is through reading His Word and inwardly digesting His Word. What does that mean? To a person with the Spirit of God within them, the Word is like spiritual food. It is nourishment to our soul. Why? Because it is God-breathed. When we read the Word, you see so many accounts of His hand being on His people at various places, doing things that He has called them to do. Do you think He wants to do any less for us? When we receive Christ into our lives, His Word comes alive in us. It is the plumb line for our life. It is the love letter to us. It is a guide to our heart. God also speaks to us through the fellowship of other people. That's why staying in fellowship is so important. We are called a body for a reason. We hold one another up when we hurt. We offer prayerful counsel when it is sought. We pray for one another. Sometimes in times of trouble or despair, our focus can become clouded by issues, so we need each other. All of these and more are ways that we can listen to what God is saying to us. But there is another important component to all this that makes all that I have said thus far come together. There's a reason, I believe, that Jesus told these three men, don't tell anyone until He was raised from the dead. Peter makes that component clear in our epistle reading that we heard today in his second letter. Peter tells us that this is no myth. This is not some dream or scheme. We saw this take place. We saw His majesty up on that mountain. We heard the voice of God tell us that this is my son. But you see, here's the difference. Not only did they have the experience of witnessing this wonderful event at that time, but after Jesus rose, they also experienced new life in Christ as they received Him into their lives and into their hearts. And at Pentecost, they experienced the power of the Spirit of God in their lives. Peter was no longer a person just driven by the emotion of the moment. He had the other disciples and all who were with him had this radical change from the inside out. A few weeks ago, I talked about Jesus being the light of the world. And through Him, we also become that light as well to the world around us because they see Jesus in us. That change that takes place in each of us comes from the inside. It transforms our heart that I spoke about last week. But then we need to act on it. The other day, a parishioner sent me an article written by Origen, a theologian in the early church around the early 200s. And I've read about Origen. I read some of his pieces when I was in seminary. Almost every seminarian does. I remember reading some of his works. And then the article that this particular article that Origen wrote talked about the enlightenment that we have in Christ. And I was thinking about that as I read it, about the sermon I gave a couple of weeks ago. But at the end of the article, Origen said this: "Finally, if we ascend with him to the top of the mountain, like Peter and James and John, not only do we receive the enlightenment from Christ, but we hear the very voice of the Father." And I would add that hearing the voice comes by listening. Listen to him by his Spirit. Listen to him by his Word. God is still speaking. God still wants to do something through each and every one who calls on his name. Are we listening? I pray that we will and do. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you want us to be in this relationship with you. And Father, we ask that if there's any area in our lives where we block you, where we prohibit from listening to you, Father, we ask that you would fill us with your presence. Bring wholeness and healing to our lives spiritually and physically. And Lord, we just ask that you would just move mightily through us as we go around doing what you called us to do. So Father, may we be an enlightenment to the world. May we be those who are called to do your will. And Father, most of all, may we listen to what you want us to do as individuals, as a parish, as the body of Christ. Help us, Lord, to hear you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.